Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Dance with me, Lord.
You have come
over the hill,
upon the mountains.
Up on the mountains, Lord, thank you.
My beloved,
capture my heart.
Dance with me, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Dance with me, Lord. Lover of my soul. Thank you, Lord. To the song of all songs. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. My soul.
To the song of our song. Take my hand, O lover of my soul. Sing the song of our songs over the ground.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Beautiful song. Dance with me, Lord. To the song of all songs. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When do you dance that song, the song of all songs? Hallelujah. When do you dance it? Hallelujah. Dance with me, Lord, lover of my soul. When do you dance it? For those of us who have the privilege of being married, we know that at the wedding, the bridegroom and the bride has a song of their own, and they dance to that song publicly to, so everybody could see. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos Jr. of The Way, The Truth, and The Life Tabernacle, your host. This Thursday evening at 7 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio. You could call us at 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio. Glory be to the Lord. And you could call us with your questions, comments, or testimonies. Glory be to the Lord. We're going to go on. As you know, we've been studying the topic, What's Next? And we're up to the point now that we are, today's the first part out of three. We're going to be talking about the marriage of the Lamb. Glory be to the Lord. But let me give you a little disclaimer and itinerary. The disclaimer is that here on Blog Talk Radio, the songs that we play belong to Pastor Ramos. They do not belong to the church, The Way, The Truth, and The Life Tabernacle. They do not belong to Blog Talk Radio. They belong to the original artist who sang the song or produced it or wrote it. But because we bought the original CDs or DVDs in it, we have permission to use their songs. Glory be to the Lord. And I believe this song, Dance With Me, Lord, is appropriate for the topic that we're going to be talking about. We know that the main topic is what's next, what's coming next on the calendar of the Lord. Well, right now, we as born-again Christians, we have an imminent expectation that the rapture will take place. And Jesus said in the Gospel of John 14, he'll come back and get us unto him, so we'll be where he's at. He's going to run after the Bema Seat judgment, after the Seder meal. There's going to be the wedding of the Lamb. Glory be. The marriage of the Lamb. Glory be to the Lord. And we know that God gave John visions. And one of the descriptions of our relationship with God is spoken of through the parables of the marriage. And we're going to be talking about the marriage. Now, remember one thing as we go on, and that is the bride, after the engagement, she goes out and seeks for a dress. This dress is pure white because they marry for the first time. They're virgins according to the scriptures. She is pure white. Jesus said that we should not have no spot, no wrinkles in our garments. It should be pure. So we are to live holy and righteous before him at all times. Glory be to the Lord. So we see that the bride is gone out to get her dress. And she puts it on, tries it on, and according to the Jewish tradition, the Galilean wedding, she's always keeping that on because she doesn't know when he's coming back. But we'll get into that in a little while. But in these days, when you see a wedding, sometimes the bride seems to profess and shows out a lot of the flesh, shoulders, sometimes their cleavage, you know, and depending on the dress, sometimes they show up to the thigh, and it doesn't give anything to the imagination. At one time, the bridegroom, once they pronounce as husband and wife, the bridegroom lifted up her veil. That's the first time in a year where he sees the bride and he kisses her when they're married. But in some of the weddings that you see today, the woman entices the man even in the wedding. And believe you me, there's other men looking on too, you know, her promiscuous ways. And not to say less for a man, because there's rumors to say that man, the bridegroom, in this modern age, hangs out with the best woman. And sometimes they engage in sexual relations. That should not be so. Marriage is a sacred thing, and it's instituted by God, and it's a lifelong endeavor. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to look upon three different type of marriages today. The first wedding, the wonderful wedding, and the marriage of the Lamb. And we're going to talk about each of them separately. And we're going to get into the first part of the marriage, which is the betrothal or the engagement. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. If we go to Genesis chapter 2, beginning at verse 18 through verse 25, we're going to read about the first wedding. And the word of God says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and the fowls of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam." The Bible talks about the operations of God his one, and we could get into it. That's a different subject, different topic, the operations of God. But here God caused a deep sleep to Adam, to fall upon Adam. And how do we know that today? When you go to the hospital, the anesthesia sends chemicals into your IVs, and it causes you to go into a deep sleep. So God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took, talking about God, he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto him. So the woman was made from the rib of a man, but man was created from the dust of the ground. So there's a difference there that we have to understand. Man was created from the dust of the ground. A woman was made from the rib of the man. Verse 23. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Woman. Because she was taken out of man. So, you know, sometimes, you know, they say in this modern times, opposites attract. So you might see a dark-skinned person, whether male or female, with a light-skinned person, whether male or female, that's opposites. Or it could be an attitude, opposites attract. It could be different things. You'll see some rare times where mates of the same color or nationality, according to the history of the Jewish people, initially they marry cousins and sisters. But after a while in the book of Leviticus, we'll see how God told Moses, the marriage between a brother and a sister is not to be so. In verse 24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." But that is something. They shall be one flesh. That's, I understand that part. We understand that part. That's the consummation of the marriage. But where did Adam get his father and his mother? He was prophesying of future events, because remember, God created Adam from the dust of the ground. So he had no natural father or natural mother. His father, he was created in the image of God, the spiritual being. The flesh came from the dust. God put it together and created a body. And then God breathed into the nostrils the breath of life, which is the Holy Spirit, and man became a living soul. And so is this was passed down to Eve when she was taken out of the side of a man, out of a rib. There's a lot of jokes go around regarding ribs and woman and man, but I'm not going to entertain that today. 25, and they both were naked, the man and his wife. It was not a shame. And this is where we understand God instituted marriage, because here on verse 25, it says the man and his wife. So a man and his wife, you know, God brought her to him, and he took the woman to be his bride, and God married them, and God put them together. And they consummated their relationship when Adam knew Eve and they had Cain. That was the first wedding, and we read that in Genesis. Glory be to the Lord. If you turn with me over to Matthew chapter 22, and beginning at verse 2, we'll read it. And it's talking there about the wonderful marriage. Marriage, that's Matthew chapter 22. at verse 2. And we have it here. Okay. 22 and 2. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And we see that's a parable. You know, there was a king who made a marriage for his son. And this is a wonderful marriage as we go on. It says, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my own oxen and my fatlings are killed. All things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their cities. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highway and gathered together all as many as they found, but both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how comes thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer dark. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Praise God. So this is a wonderful wedding. This is, it's a wedding that, a parable that shows a relationship between those that are invited to the wedding, because he had made a wedding prepared. It doesn't say much about the son, the bridegroom, and it doesn't say much about the bride, but it talks about the father who prepared the wedding for the son. And he invited many guests, but many of them did not come. So those he invited from the highways and byways to come to fill the guest list. And so we also have been invited to a beautiful wedding, the wedding of the Lamb. And this will take place in the heavens. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. A relationship with our God through Jesus Christ. And the parable of the marriage just shows that relationship, how wonderful it would be for us to have that relationship with our Father, with the wedding of the Lamb. A father is proud of his son or of his daughter come the wedding day. And we are invited to be there. We're going to see what the marriage of the Lamb. Turn with me over to Revelation chapter 19, and we're going to read what it says there. And beginning at verse 7, right? Verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, write. So we know that this is a vision that God gave to John. He said, write. Blessed is they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed are they that are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the wife had made herself ready. And we know from certain passages, the wife is saints, the born-again Christian. And we have to live holy and righteous before God because of the wedding of the Feast of the Lamb. Let's read some of this. The Bible describes many weddings. God himself performed the very first wedding, Genesis 2, 18 to 25. We read that. Other famous biblical weddings include that of Jacob to Leah. Now, you remember, Jacob was in love with Rachel. He wanted Rachel. He worked for Rachel for 7 years. But the night came of the wedding that the father, because of their traditions, allowed Leah to go into the tent of Jacob, and Jacob knew Leah. And in the morning time, he recognized, wait, this is not Rachel, this is Leah. And he went to Laban and said, did I not work 7 years for Leah, for Rachel? But how come is that you give me the older one, the Leah? And the father said, we have a custom that we don't give the youngest before the oldest. Continue to work for the Rachel. So Jacob worked on 7 more years for Rachel. And if you read the scriptures carefully, he worked another 7 years for the cattle that he was going to have. So he actually worked 21 years total. And that's when Jacob left with Rachel and Leah. And both of them had handmaidens. And when you go back to Genesis and you read the story of Jacob, you know, each of them, Aaron, so she gave her handmaiden Rachel and the handmaiden proceed to give Jacob some children, some sons. Rachel was barren, so her handmaiden, when Jacob went in unto her, she also bare sons. And so Jacob had, at the end, Benjamin, and we know that Rachel had died when she was given birth. So we have Leah and Rachel, their sisters. And then you had the handmaidens that also conceive. So that was Jacob was married to Leah because she was the first one, the oldest one that the father brought into the tent unto Jacob. Hallelujah. That's found in Genesis 29:21-25. And another famous marriage was Ruth and Boaz. And out of Ruth, you know, Jesse came. And out of Jesse came David. And out of David came Solomon. And all the way down to Joseph and Mary through their cousins. We have Ahab and Jezebel. They both were evil in the sight of God, but they married to each other, 1 Kings 16:29-31. Ruth and Boaz was married. You could read that in Ruth chapter 4. And the wedding in Cana, at which Jesus Christ performed his first miracle, John chapter 2:1-11. So these are famous ones. And if you remember, Eliezer went to the cousins of Abraham, and there he went to look for a wife for Isaac. And he took with him 12 camels full of gifts, and he gave them gifts. And today, my brothers and sisters, our gifts come from the Holy Ghost. Our ring, our engagement ring is the Holy Ghost. And we know that we had gifts of the Holy Ghost. The first one meaning love, right? And our marriage contract is our Bible. So we have to consider that. Hallelujah. The most wonderful wedding of all is yet to take place. Jesus predicted this wedding through parables in Matthew 22:2, 25:1, Luke 12:35-36, and John describes what God showed him through a vision. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him thanks, glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. Wife has made herself ready. We read that, Revelation 19:7. The host of this marriage will be God the Father. He is pictured as preparing it and then sending his servants out to invite the selected guests in Luke 14:16-23. The bridegroom is Jesus Christ, the Father's beloved Son, Matthew 3:17 and 17:5. In John 3:27-30, John the Baptist referred to Christ as the bridegroom and to himself as the friend of the bridegroom. In Luke 5:32-35, Jesus alludes to his coming death, said, "But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days." Bride is also clear. The Apostle Paul wrote concerning the church, "For I have brought through you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." 2 Corinthians 11:2. Later, to the Ephesians he wrote, "Husbands, love your wife, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." Ephesians 5:25. The New Testament pictures the relationship of Christ to the church according to the pattern of a typical Near Eastern marriage. It consists of three separate stages. So let me read that again, because that's a very important point that we need to ascribe to and take it in and understand it. It says, the New Testament pictures the relationship of Christ to the church according to the pattern of a typical Near Eastern marriage. It consists of three separate stages. And that's what we're going to look at. The first stage today is the betrothal, which is the engagement. Let me read this, and we go on to the chapters. First century marriage contracts were often initiated by the groom's father when both parties were very young, sometimes even prior to birth. He would sign a legal enactment before the proper judge, pledging his son to his chosen girl. The father would then offer the proper dowry payments. Thus, even though the bride had never seen the groom, she was nevertheless betrothed or espoused to him. A New Testament example of the first step is the betrothal of Mary and Joseph in Matthew 1:8. Let us turn there. Matthew 1:8. In Matthew 1:8. Hallelujah. 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 Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. The word of God says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So we see that the first step before the consummation of the marriage is the betrothal of the wife to the husband. The betrothal. The betrothal is an engagement, you know, and at that time in the Jewish tradition, when you engage to a woman, you are believed to be married. And that is why when Joseph found out that Mary was with child, he wanted to pull her away privately. He didn't want her to be cast out, because what's going to happen is, according to Leviticus, she was supposed to be stoned to death. But Joseph, being a just man and a man of God, he was going to get a divorcement, a bill of divorcement. Quietly, he was going to divorce her, because he might have thought that, you know, this child is from another man. Why would she marry him if she was with child? But what happened was the angel spoke to Joseph in a dream and told Joseph not to be afraid, to take Mary unto him as his wife, for the child that she bare was a child of God. And his name was supposed to be Jesus, because he was going to save his people from their sin. So what happened is, let me just share this. I would recommend that you watch the movie A Day Before the Wrath, because it shows you the Galilean wedding and how the procession is, the Galilean wedding. You go by the gate, and the father of the bridegroom is talking to the father of the bride, and they make an agreement. And the son presents a cup of wine to the woman, and if she accepts, she drinks of the cup. That's where Jesus Christ, when he presented the cup at the Lord's Supper, he said, "I'll now drink it new until I drink it new in my Father's kingdom." But we drank the cup, and that means that we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Just like a woman, when she drinks the cup that a man presents to her, she's agreeing. She's accepting him as her bridegroom. And then what happened is he then gives money to the father, the gifts, just in case something happens to her, he could take care of her, you know, before the wedding, or if something happens to him, the father could take care of the bride. And so that is called the dowry. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to read it a little bit more. But when we read the bride has been selected, you know, now she could have been selected before she was born or after she was born. The father of the bridegroom makes a covenant with the father of the bride, and they wait till they get older, then they have the marriage. So, you know, she's been selected, just like you've been. You have not been left in this world to fetch by yourself. Jesus said he would never leave us nor forsake us. He will be with us even to the end of the age. He says, you know, when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we repent of our sins, he comes and dwells within us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. He intercedes for us. Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. And the Holy Spirit is. The Bible says, unless the Holy Spirit draws man cannot be saved. So when we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior and repent of our sin, he gave us the marriage ring. We would be wrought through him. And the marriage ring to us is the Holy Spirit. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He sealed us with the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption, according to Ephesians. So the bridegroom was selected. Let's read that. The bride was selected, has been selected. It says, just as he, Ephesians 1, chapter 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's because we've been selected. We, you know, God knows who is going to be saved. And God knows who's going to reject salvation. When we were blind, you know, God took the veil out of us, and we was able to see the bridegroom. We was able to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. One day, I'll share my conversion, how I was lost and he found me. Glory be to the Lord. You know, some people say that they found Jesus, but we don't find Jesus. He finds us. He's not lost. We're lost. We need to be rescued. We need to be saved. We need to be delivered. We need to be healed. And he does all that in the time that he finds us. Glory be to the Lord. The dowry from 1 Peter 1:18 to 19. It said, the dowry has been paid, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:20 and 1 Peter 1:18 to 19. That is the betrothal, my brothers and sisters, that we're talking about today. We're going to present, we're going to do others, the two and chapter three, part two, part three. We're going to present, part two is the presentation, and part three is the celebration, right, for the marriage of the supper. But I want you to take away understanding that he found us when we was lost. His Father, glory be to the Lord, chose us. He selected us for his Son. And remember one thing, the dowry has been paid. The dowry is a payment. The father gives the money over to the father of the bride when they're engaged. And Jesus Christ shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary. And that was a payment for us. We've been bought with a price. We're not our own. We belong to Christ. He paid the price by shedding his precious on the cross. The Word of God tells us in 1 Corinthians 5:21, he that knew no sin became sin, that we would become the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus Christ paid the price. He paid the dowry for us. And, you know, the marriage of the feast of the wedding of the bridegroom, it is fantastic. The marriage of the Lamb. Remember, we made ourselves ready because, you know, we want to make ourselves ready every day. We never know. Remember, Jesus gave the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 was foolish. The Bible said they all fell asleep. But when it came time that the sound came to announce that the bridegroom was coming, the 5 foolish virgins didn't have enough oil, and they asked, and that oil represents the Holy Spirit in us. And they asked the 5 wise virgins, give us some of your wine, give us some of your oil. And the 5 wise virgins said, no, go buy some, you know, go buy some. And they went out to buy, but it was midnight. So who's going to be out at that time selling oil? And by the time they came back, the 5 wise virgins went into, and the door was shut. They went with the bridegroom. they will prepare. They will dress in their wedding garments. They'll prepare. They had enough oil in their lamps. And that's what we need. We need to continue to pray without ceasing, like Paul says, and always ask the Holy Spirit to be with us, to anoint us, so we could be ready for the day when the trumpet sounds and the voice of the archangel, and when Jesus Christ himself comes down in the cloud, that we be ready, because the dead in Christ will rise first. They're not going to wait for us. They're going to be changed. And we that remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and we're going to be changed to a glorified body. You know, God spoke about the kingdom. Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God coming to earth. And John the Baptist spoke about the kingdom of God. And then when he baptized them with the Holy Spirit in the Acts chapter 2, he says, I'll give you power. Power shall come upon you to be a witness unto me. So we see that he spoke about the kingdom and the power of God. And that is the prayer and the glory. The glory is when we have a change on our way up to the clouds. There's going to be a change. So we spoke about the powers, the kingdom, the power, and the glory. That's the Our Father prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. So we see that in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus spoke of those three elements, and he has presented the kingdom of God, heaven to us, right? Love one another, Jesus said. Love one another as I have loved you. That is the kingdom. And the power is for us to have the power within us, the Holy Spirit, to be a bear witness of what Christ has done. And then the glory is when we change from this mortal body to an immortality body, from a corruptible body to an incorruptible body. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's a for the marriage of the Lamb, which is the betrothal or the engagement. Glory be to the Lord. Next week, we're going to be talking about the presentation. I'm going to give you no hint as to what the presentation is all about. But if you want to call Blog Talk Radio, you could call 516-418-5944, and you could speak of your questions, comment, or testimony. Glory be to the Lord. If you want to send an email to the church, it's going to be wtltabernacle@gmail.com. Or if you want to call the pastor, the servant, you could call me after the program is over at 772-626-3178. Glory be to the Lord. Don't forget the itinerary. We're here every Thursday at 7 o'clock for Bible study. Sundays at 7 o'clock, we have the Bible mystery. And this week, we're going to be talking about why would all nations mourn from Matthew 24. And if you get the answer correctly, the church will mail you the beautiful, colorful, accordion-style pamphlet of the tabernacle. Hallelujah. It talks there about the furnishings, the patterns of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolisms that point to Jesus, the sacrifices in the tabernacle, the garments of the high priest, the tabernacle. And I will recommend you put one in your Bible, but wherever you go, if you have an appointment while you're waiting to be called, you could take it out and study the tabernacle and get to know about it. Remember the Holy Spirit said, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit where God dwells? At that time, the tabernacle was also called the tent of meetings, where God spoke to Moses and the people from the mercy seat. And whenever the cloud would move, they would take down the tabernacle and they would follow. Wherever the cloud would stop, they would rebuild the temple again, and they'll begin to follow suit with their traditions and their sacrifices. We thank the Lord for that. And so we're gonna continue. Next Thursday, we're gonna be still talking about the marriage of the Lamb, but this time we're gonna talk about the presentation. What entails in the presentation? Again, I recommend that you watch The Day Before the Wrath, beautiful video regarding the marriage feast of the Lamb, and it's Galilean. And remember, Jesus Christ and his disciples were from Galilee. It's different than a regular Jewish wedding. So if you watch the video, you're going to come to a better understanding of the marriage of the Lamb and better understanding as to where you're at in this walk with the Lord. Remember, God says, you know, that we are to examine ourselves if we're in the faith. So we want to remain ourselves in the faith. We don't want to remain holy and righteous before God and give a testimony to those that might ask. So you have to be ready to give an account for the joy that's within you. That's why you study yourself, approve unto God, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you want to read your Bible. Remember, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Glory be to the Lord. And we're looking up because our redemption is drawing near. We're looking up. We're not, you know, some people are looking for the Antichrist. Who is he? What is he? Is he still, is he alive now? What? Look, our job is to look for Christ. Look up. Since Christ was on this earth, we know that we're in the birth pains. And things are escalating more and more and more each day. And so we're looking up, praying to be worthy to be found to escape the wrath to come. There's a wrath that's going to come upon this earth. God said it in Acts. He says that he appointed a day in which he will bring wrath to the world through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was pressed the grapes of the harvest. And remember, he has a white garment, but there'll be reddish or blood onto the horse's bridle. And so we want to continue to worship him and to give him all the praise. And so on Sunday, we'll be here at 7 o'clock with our Bible mystery, Why Would All Nations Mourn, from Matthew chapter 24. Study that, come up with the answer. And I will venture to say you got to also look at other books in the Bible so you could get an idea why the nations would mourn. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And on Tuesday at 7 p.m., we have intercessory prayer. We have certain subjects that we pray for, and we ask you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio, Sunday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Same telephone number, 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio. Glory to the Lamb. And so we want to praise God. We want to thank God for this night. We want to thank God for those behind the scenes on Blog Talk Radio. You don't see them, you don't hear them, but they're there making sure that everything is working properly. And we thank the Lord that God will hedge them about in their families, that no harm and danger will come their way, and they'll be able to continue to do the work that the Lord has called them. So unto then, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus.